joining me this evening, all the way from Japan, Motoko Kakubayashi. Kia ora, Motoko, and welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. Now, I've been a little bit worried about you because we've had stories in the media here about a super typhoon heading your way. I think the strongest of the year in your part of the world, the strongest for a while, I think. And I wondered, well, what damage has it done? What's the weather like where you are right now?
Well, it's actually kind of graying up now because we've got another typhoon coming up from the Pacific. But more on that a bit later. But so this other typhoon, which the Japanese call Typhoon Number 14, because it's the 14th typhoon
number 14.
Come around.
See, I have this vague memory that you gave them numbers. When I was looking in the press, it was Nanmadol, Nanmadol, but also in brackets, I think Sophie or something like that. And I thought maybe Nanmadol is the Japanese version, although it doesn't sound very Japanese, and Sophie is the English language version of the same typhoon. But you're telling me it's a number.
That's right. So they always name the typhoons by the number. So we know how many typhoons we've had. We've had a lot or a few this year, but no, typhoon number 14, there was a lot of hype about it. The meteorological agency was saying us it was a typhoon unlike any they've ever seen. There'll be gusts of winds unlike anything we've ever seen. There'll be large amounts of rain unlike anything we've ever seen. And so people were quite scared.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But fortunately, it did not directly hit Tokyo. It hit a lot of southern Japan, and then it kind of passed over to northern Japan. From what I've heard, it did have there was a lot of rain. There was a lot of wind. But in terms of, I guess, casualties or, you know, big, huge things kind of been collapsing, I haven't heard much of that. So I think in a way people are a little relieved. Obviously, though, this is kind of a really, really bad time for farmers. We're coming up to autumn now, which is, you know, the best season to start picking, harvesting the rice, picking the fruits from the orchards. So there have been a lot of reports of the farmers just losing tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of produce with this typhoon. So it has affected some areas. But for the large part of the population that were out of the direct path of it, it's just been a huge nuisance. And that's because we've got 2-3-day weekends right now, which is, you know, sounds amazing. It's, you know, we get 2-3-day weekends in a row and let's all go out and have a holiday. But the thing is, this typhoon hit at exactly the same time as the first 3-day weekend. And so people were a bit upset. We know people have had to cancel plans to go out, you know, and enjoy the weather. But we all kind of thought, that's all right. I mean, we've got another chance in a week where we've got another 3-day weekend coming up starting tomorrow. And then what the news has been happening since last night is that another typhoon has just emerged from the Pacific Ocean, and it's probably going to hit Japan right in the middle of this next 3-day weekend.
So that's now typhoon number 15, right?
Exactly. So people right now are just kind of groaning and saying we have to stay indoors. And it was meant to be, you know, a great party, two parties, 2 weeks in a row, and everything's kind of been ruined because of the typhoon.
Can I ask you, Motoko, what those two holidays commemorated?
So the first one is called Keiro no Hi. So that is respect for the elderly, and it's a day to celebrate, I guess, longevity. It's a day to, you know, send a message to grandma, grandpa, and wish them well and hope they live a little longer as well. So that has been around for years. And then this weekend we've got the autumn equinox coming up, and that has always been a public holiday as well.
It's nice to think that you and Japan have a public holiday just for the elderly. What were you planning to do last weekend? Or what did you do last weekend?
So we're coming up to sports day season. So in general, this time of the year, it's not as hot as summer, but it's also not as wet as the other times of the year. So it's kind of seen as the perfect time to have kids' sports events. And so my 6-year-old son has his first sports day event coming up this Saturday. And he and his class have been practicing for most of this month. And now we're kind of all hinged to the television to see if this typhoon's going to hit on Saturday or not.
What sports is he practicing for?
He won't tell me. He's a bit shy on that one. But he
really
his teacher said he's been practicing the hula hoop until his face has gone red.
Oh my goodness!
I assume that's what he's going to be doing.
You might have a dancer in the family.
We'll see. He's a bit shy, but no, his teachers are saying he's been practicing really hard, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, I hope you get to see that action. I mean, I would have thought he can do the hula hoop indoors, can't he? He doesn't have to be out of doors in the typhoon if it starts to rain heavily.
I hope so, but of course people are quite wary about COVID over here, so they kind of encourage people to have events outside. So we'll see what happens. There is no alternative to having an indoor sports day. So I think we're all just kind of hoping that the typhoon misses us again.
Still wary about COVID. I mean, aren't you going to open your borders up? I guess you're behind us in New Zealand because we've reopened the borders and we actually ended our mask mandate and vaccine mandate the other day, apart from, I think, the health services and maybe a few other places. But basically, it's like back to this new normal. You haven't quite reached that point in Japan.
No, and a lot of people have been quite frustrated at that and that you know, their friends aren't able to come and visit them. My family isn't able to visit me here in Tokyo, or at least not easily. I kind of have to write a letter so that they can get a visa to enter the country, and that is quite long. That's a long process. But yes, so the Japanese Prime Minister had been hinting at for weeks until yesterday. He finally did confirm that they're going to open up the border to overseas visitors in October. He hasn't exactly said how, but he says it will just be significantly easier for visitors to enter the country. And we're thinking that's probably because he's worried about the weakening Japanese yen. So he wants more tourists to come in and kind of drive some money into the tourism industry. And of course, COVID numbers have been dropping across the country. So it's Japan is seen as a safe place to go now. Whereas, you know, about, if you were talking to me about a month or two ago, some of our COVID numbers were the worst in the world. Mm.
Japanese yen is weakening against the US dollar?
Yes, that's right.
Same here. New Zealand dollar's been weakening recently. Of course, there's good and bad news on that. For exporters, it's good news because overseas dollars buy more. And it's the same if you want tourists to come and visit. So that's the other reason you might want tourists to come, because a weakening yen makes Japan cheaper. And Japan has a reputation, and here's a question I wasn't thinking of asking you, Motoko, but has a reputation for being very expensive, but actually maybe it's not.
Exactly. So I live in Tokyo, and it's surprisingly quite cheap compared to other cities across the world. And so, yeah, I can totally understand that for tourists, coming to Japan might actually be quite cheap. Eating out is very cheap. Going around, the public transport is fantastic and it's very affordable. So I'm hoping that from October we do see a lot more people coming in from overseas. At least I haven't seen a lot of non-Japanese faces in the last 3 years. So I think I would be quite happy to see them too.
Have you been dealing with a cost of living, what some folk are calling crisis, in Japan?
No, not really. Not one that I can feel. I mean, prices of products in the supermarkets have been creeping up. What I used to pay, say, $30 at the supermarket, I find that I now have to kind of fork out $35, $40 for. So there have been gradual increases in everyday things. But in terms of living here, I am still living quite comfortably.
I guess in terms of getting around, Do you have your own car or do you rely on public transport?
Oh no, I think owning a car, I think, is a dream that my husband and I have. But the public transport in Tokyo is just so efficient, and it goes everywhere. So we've been able to get about with trains quite nicely.
And it runs on electric?
Yes, mainly electric. Yes.
Yeah. And where does Japan get most of its electricity from? Is it hydro? Is it nuclear power? And you've had a few problems with that.
It's a mixture of nuclear power, although that kind of eased down in the last 10 years since Fukushima. But they buy most of their energy from overseas, and most of it's also just your traditional burning coal, burning fossil fuels for energy.
Okay, so that would be still vulnerable to what's going on in the outside world, but it doesn't seem like it's such a, because for most New Zealanders, we have to get around in cars, unless you live in the two big cities, or even not even Christchurch, really. You're probably going to rely on a car. And so people are really noticing the increase in the price of petrol. But you, public transport, savvy Tokyo, not so much.
Exactly. But I mean, I think the reaction of everyone is the same in New Zealand and anywhere in the world. I think the latest thing they've said is that they're going to hike up the price. Every time they say they're going to hike up the price of beer or some alcoholic beverage, there's this mad wave of people running into stores on the day before the prices go up, just to save a few yen on a can of beer.
Are Japanese big beer drinkers?
They used to be. The reports are that young people aren't drinking as much as they used to. My personal opinion is that I find that people are drinking less, but they are more fussy about what they drink. So they're looking more at quality rather than quantity. And I guess the other big thing is that Japan had a huge drinking culture until recently, where if you join a company, you joined the company family. And what your company family would do is that you'd accompany your boss to go out drinking after work every night, or every weekend, and you just drink a lot until until the last train, until about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
That sounds
And that,
horrific.
for some people, it is, especially if you can't tolerate alcohol. It's it's
Or
um
can't tolerate your boss.
uh exactly exactly so there That kind of culture has been going down. It's dropped significantly after COVID, and I think people are more happy to enjoy drinking for what it is, rather than being forced to drink a lot because your boss says so.
Now, you grew up in New Zealand, Motoko, so how would you compare our binge habits with alcohol to Japanese binge habits?
Well, interesting. I would say they're quite similar, although I've never really seen anyone in New Zealand fight over who's going to pay the bill at the end of the night. That usually happens over here in Japan.
What, in terms of somebody wants to pay it because it's dishonorable not to pay the bill?
Exactly. So it's people saying it's seeing who's going to pay it. The boss says they'll pay it, and then the second boss says no, they'll pay it. And there's this kind of argument over who gets to be the better man, I guess. And obviously they're both very drunk, so this never really ends. I guess that is something I've never actually seen
You
in New
haven't seen
Zealand.
it, but have you seen it in front of you? Have you witnessed this kind of carry on in Japan?
Not in a while. I remember seeing when I first moved here, and I went out with my friends drinking for the night. I do remember seeing that. But I guess it's the strange thing that even though Japanese people get drunk, they still remain quite polite. So they kind of hobble home drunk, and they'll take off their shoes, but they'll make sure their shoes are lined up. I mean, of course, not everyone, but I have seen there's a lot of people who take the care to just make sure that they put their shoes, line their shoes up nicely, and in their doorway.
That doesn't sound like New Zealand drinking culture. I mean, you're just going to chuck your shoes anywhere, somewhere on the bedroom floor, probably. You won't even take them off when you go into your house.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing that in Japan you would take your footwear off before you enter the house.
Yes, you would. So that is something I think that just people grow up with, and it's, I guess, it's something that you do subconsciously, whether you're drunk or not.
Was that something, because your mum and dad were Japanese, that you did even in New Zealand, take your shoes off wherever you went?
Yeah, we did. So that was the rule. You get home, and there's my mum would have a mat, just outside the front door and the back door, and you'd make sure that you put your shoes there before getting into the house.
When did you last see your mum and dad?
So my mum actually came to visit me a couple of months ago here in Japan. But before that, we hadn't seen each other in almost in 2.5 or 3 years, I think.
That's quite a long time when you're having kids and they're not
It
seeing the
is, and
grandkids.
I think it's the longest we haven't seen each other as well. So it was but she had fun. She got to meet her 2-year-old grandson for the first time, which was exciting.
And of course, your slightly older son who's now at school.
Exactly. So my older one is he's a bit more smarter now, so he knows what to tell grandma,
And
you
what
know.
not to tell grandma?
Exactly. So he knows when to ask for a present and when to kind of stay away.
last thing I wanted to ask you about is a little bit somber. But I think it was such a big event for you. Not everybody gets their prime minister, former prime minister, assassinated. Talking about the death of Shinzo Abe, and whether or not there will be a state funeral for him. Has your government decided yet?
They did very early on. They said this would be a there would be a state funeral. At the time, I think people were quite shocked and quite sad that Shinzo Abe had died by a gunshot. So the general mood was that everyone was kind of for a state funeral. It was all right. The government initially said it would cost the taxpayer about a quarter of a million New Zealand dollars, which was quite a lot, but people were thinking, well, you know, it's a big state funeral, that's all right. What happened though since then is that very recently the government kind of backed on that statement. They said, well, actually, it's going to cost us about 8 times that figure, and so it's going to cost us just under 2 million New Zealand dollars, all paid by tax dollars. And that's when people really started to kind of voice their frustration. And so Prime Minister Fumio Kishida is the one that has been making all these announcements. Up to that point, he'd been pretty popular. People were not entirely unhappy, but also not enthusiastic about his leadership. But after he said that this state funeral will cost all of us 2 million New Zealand dollars, his ratings just plummeted. And right now, more people don't think that he is a good prime minister. And we'll see what happens. But so we're going to have a state funeral. What's going to be next week? And I think on Tuesday. But it's if anything, it's nothing like the Queen's estate funeral.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
So
There won't be many funerals like that ever, the one we saw
no,
earlier this week.
exactly. So I guess the first thing is that it's not a public holiday, so it's just your regular Tuesday in Tokyo. And so it's first of all, it's causing locals a big headache because they're going to cut off all the major highways leading up to the venue. And that's simply so that they can, all the people and the invited guests can make their way to the street funeral. But it means that people who are working, like myself, it means that we have to find other ways to get to work. The schools in the area where the state funeral was going to be held, they've had to make last minute arrangements. A number of the schools have said that they're going to not cancel lessons on that day, but they're going to make it an online school day just to make sure that the kids aren't kind of caught up in this traffic mess around this funeral. And I guess the other thing is that there will be, so we have, I think, about 6,000 people have been invited to this funeral. But people have been looking at the people who are coming and not, and they're quite disappointed at who is coming. So I think the big names that are coming is the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and the US Vice President, Kamala Harris, will be coming to Japan for the state funeral. But everyone else just seems to be a former, I guess, leader of a country. So we have the former president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, the former German president, Christian Wolff, the former UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, are just some of the guests who said they will be coming. And of course, people have been asking the government what's up with this list. And they said, well, you know, the Queen had her state funeral just a few days ago. And so obviously this is a bit of a strain on a number of countries to send their leader to two state funerals so close to one another. But when you look at the I guess the other people that have turned up on the not coming list that have kind of caught my eye were Donald Trump. He was best friends with Shinzo Abe, or as Shinzo Abe said, he said Shinzo Abe was a big Trump fan, sent him a new set of golf clubs when he was elected president of the US. He said that he's not coming. Barack Obama has said that he's not coming. And the Emperor and Empress, and the former Emperor and Empress of Japan will also not be attending, although that is called, apparently according to tradition, and that is not their personal opinion.
But didn't the Emperor and Empress of Japan go to the Queen's funeral?
Yes, they did. There was, I think, for about a week or so, I think after the Queen passed away, that was all you could hear on Japan was, will the Emperor and Empress go? And talking about the, I guess, the special relationship that Japan has always had with the Queen. And it is in so the our current Emperor of Japan was has met the Queen a number of times when he was since he was very young, but the former Emperor as well was at the coronation of the Queen, and I think a number of times that they have met, they felt that at least the Japanese public feel like Queen Elizabeth had treated the Emperor of Japan with very politely, or kind of went out of her way to kind of welcome the former emperor and empress. I remember one time at I think her at her 60th anniversary of ascending to the throne, the emperor and emperor of Japan at the time were invited to London, but the former emperor had just had surgery, so there was a lot of question about whether he should go or not. But the emperor the emperor said he really, really wanted to go. And so he and the Empress flew to London, and they said that the Queen went out of her way to make sure that they were very comfortable and made sure that the Emperor of Japan was sat next to her during the banquet. And so there were these little subtle things or that have happened over the years that I think the Japanese public are very, I think, thankful for and really appreciate about the British royal family.
Motoko, it's always lovely to talk with you. Good luck with this coming weekend and your son's hula hooping. I hope it goes ahead. And thanks so much for all the discussions we've had over the years.
Thank you. Thank you so much.